Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having anything to do before the unveiling of the Honorable David Kerman, the first justice of the Northeast Housing Court, who sat in the county of Middlesex in the courts of Lowell and Woodward, in the county of Essex in the courts of Lawrence, Lynn, and Salem. Draw near, give your attendance, and you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and this honorable court. Court is open. Please be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, please make sure your cell phones are off. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief David. The court recognizes Attorney Goodman.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Chief Justice Horan, First Justice Del Puerto, distinguished members of the judiciary, members of the bar, friends, and UTA. 2 years ago, we met here to honor the memory of Judge David Kerman. Today, we gather to dedicate a portrait of Judge Kerman so that his memory can be a part of this courtroom for posterity. For those of us who knew Judge Kerman and had the privilege of litigating against him, working with him, appearing before him here and in Lawrence and Lynn, we do not need a portrait to remember his commitment to the law and his skill as the first justice of this court. But the portrait that will be unveiled shortly will be a bright page of history affixed to these walls, serving as a reminder for the public, members of the bar, and future judges of the standard of excellence that he brought to the Northeast Housing Court. Before I call upon the speakers, I want to thank the members of the Honorable David D. Kerman Portrait Committee, who have given many hours of their time in order that this program would fittingly honor Judge Kerman. I also want to thank the many donors and the courthouse staff for their assistance in making this program possible. And this program would not have been possible but for the cooperation and assistance of Acting Clerk Magistrate Tom Trilla, Assistant Clerk Magistrate Murray Brennan, and Lynette Rodriguez. Finally, but first in my thoughts and prayers on behalf of the entire Northeast Housing Court community, I want to acknowledge and send heartfelt good wishes to our esteemed Clerk Magistrate Allison Cole. I now call upon Chief Justice Horan to share some remarks.
Good afternoon. I first want to thank the committee and UTA for asking me to appear today to make some comments and for all of your efforts for this beautiful event. So well organized. I think it's a model for everything going forward. We finally got here. I feel like it's been a journey, but we're here. I had prepared some comments to talk about my colleague, Dave Kerman, to talk about him as a mentor, a judge's judge, someone who was in love with the law, someone who did not put his thumb on the scale, but rather sat down and wrote a decision and came to a conclusion based upon the law, incredibly committed to the study of law. And he wrote masterpieces when he wrote. You know, as a new judge, I learned under Judge Martin, John Martin. If any of you know him, John Martin and Dave Kerman have very different styles. So I learned a very different style. But Judge Kerman was absolutely a scholar and loved the law. But after being in the roving room, I'm going to call it for the moment, and watching all of my colleagues put their robes on, and me putting my robe on, I'm going to put my comments aside and I'm going to tell you a story. So in May 2018, Judge Winnick was retired. He may have already retired, but we got together at the Beechwood, many of you will remember this, for his retirement dinner. And the one request that Tim Sullivan had was, bring your robe, because we have no pictures of the 11 judges, and we need a picture of the 11 judges, because soon thereafter, we were going to become 15. And in fact, we were 10, but Dave Kerman was recalled, so he was the 11th in the picture. So Tim said, we have to memorialize this, please bring your robe. So we all, and I know the day because I actually went to the State House to speak on behalf of Judge Salvidio in the morning, and the dinner was that night. So that's how close we were getting to being at New York Court. So we all get to the Beechwood, and guess who forgot his rope? So he comes in, and Tim says, "Dave, where's the rope? Was I supposed to bring my rope?" "Yep, Dave, you're supposed to bring your rope." "Okay, what are we going to do now?" And I said, "Well, I have two in the car." So I go out and I get my second robe. Well, my first robe is a $400 $19.99 gift from my father. So it's a work of art. It's heavy as hell and I hate wearing it. But it's a work of art. But I brought it for the picture. And the second one is this that I throw in a bag everywhere I go. And so for some reason, when I pull it out of the bag, it looks okay. So I said, "Dave, take the nice one. It has cuffs. Please, you look great. Please take the nice one." "I'm not taking the nice one. Give me the other one." So he takes this one, and he places himself in the middle of the picture in a seat in the front, which would have been fine if he had his robe on, but he had my robe on. So the sleeves are now up to here. So I have that picture in my Worcester office and in my Boston office because in that picture, every single judge is smiling, a genuine smile. It was a fun night. It was, for me, the last time I saw you in person. And it just kind of gives you a sense of him. And for those of you that know him, and I know you're going to hear tons of stories, but it just kind of shows you he's missed. I miss being able to pick the phone and say, "Dave, what would you do in this situation?" He's missed. And I'm, again, greatly honored to have been included in this today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge Horan. Now we ask Judge Del Puerto to please share some remarks.
Thank you. Tough to follow that those comments. However, I do have an emergency road visit. colleagues, friends, family members, members of the committee, everyone who's here and by Zoom, welcome and thank you. We're here to honor someone I'm very happy and glad to call a friend and a mentor, Judge Kerman. Briefly, when I was hired as a clerk, I was a clerk for 4 years in that court. I have the good fortune to read Judge Berman's clerk in the Lynn session when the session was held in the old juvenile court. And in this very courtroom, the jury session here in Salem. So, to the extent that I knew when I became a judge, you know, what to do, and to the extent that I know, you know, to the extent I know, a little bit what to know now. A big part of that is having sat here and having drunk the wisdom that has given out of Judge Berman. Now, I'm the first justice of this court currently, so I sit where Judge Berman sat for many years. I am very glad that his portrait would be the first portrait of any judge to hang on one of our walls. This court, as you know, sits on four locations, three of which we control, so Salem, Lawrence, and Lowell. There's no portrait of any judge hanging on any of those walls. Judge Kremitz will be the first. And I think it's appropriate to make proper. That's the way it should be. So I'm very glad that this day has come. I'm very glad that the portrait was finished and will hang where it should hang, which is in this courtroom. For a long, long time to come. The one thing that I can't help wishing is that I wish Judge Berman was here in person to really take this honor that we're bestowing on him in person. He's not here in person, I'm sure he's here in spirit. Personally, I can't wait to see the portrait, to see the unveiling, and to see the portrait hang where it should. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Del Puerto. Now ask Judge Dalton to come forward.
Good afternoon. It's fitting that we gather here for the unveiling of Judge Kerman's portrait in this courtroom in Salem, where he presided for many years and in which he did the work that he loved. In many ways, the courtroom that his portrait will look out over is very different from the court which he created back in 1991. If Paul Burke, who was the first clerk magistrate of the Northeast Housing Court, were speaking here today, he would regale us with stories about how he and David literally scrounged for used computers, furniture, and equipment from other trial court departments in the months leading up to the opening of this division. The court, at the time, the court's clerk's office and main branch was in the basement of a small rented building in Lawrence that was shared with the Lawrence District Court. There were weekly satellite sessions in shared space at Lynn District Court and then Lynn Juvenile Court, in the old Salem District Court and Salem Juvenile Court at Shetland Park. And David even managed to shoehorn us into a courtroom in the Lowell Superior Court, where we heard the Northern Middlesex counties in the courtroom that we shared with the probate court. The original staff, Susan Trippi, Kenny Davis, Wanda Gonzalez, Tammy Ortega, Martha Buckley, and Jay McDonough, literally brought the court to the people every week. They carried the case files, the reel-to-reel tape recorder, if you remember what that is, a manila envelope, which served as the cash register, and Judge Kerman's standardized forms for every possible court action. There was no lawyer for the day program in those days, no legal limited assistance representation, no Zoom, no requests for hybrid hearings, no e-filing. There was no mass courts. But early on, Judge Kerman realized the value of computerized case management systems, so he designed and coded ECMS, which was a small version in our minds and a precursor to mass courts today. Much has changed in three plus decades since the division opened. The Northeast has grown into one of the busiest divisions for case filings. Our main branch is still in Lawrence, but the court has permanent clerk's offices and negotiation rooms for the housing specialists at the Fenton Center in Lawrence, in this courthouse for Lynn and Salem, and in the state-of-the-art new courthouse in Lowell for Northern Middlesex County. When the legislature expanded the jurisdiction of the housing court statewide in 2017, the Northeast Division received almost 500,000 additional people in its service area. We added a weekly satellite session for Southern Middlesex County, and we share space with Woburn Superior Court now. But just as much has changed, the essence and the core of what Judge Kerman created with the early staff and what he inspired here in the Northeast remains. Having his portrait here in this courtroom will remind us of that and encourage us to live up to those ideals every day. Our job is still to bring justice to the people in our sessions. All the trial court departments have their own unique role in the justice system, but the housing court's role is particularly unique. Our subject matter is people's homes, where they live with their children, where they make their lives, where they sustain themselves to go out into the world, and where they grow old. It is a court where a large number of the litigants do not have lawyers, so that the court and the trial judge have a heightened responsibility to make sure that everyone is heard and that the truth of their case is respected under the law. Judge Kerman always tried cases understanding the high stakes for tenants and the necessity to have landlords who could and would provide rental housing in all our communities. He also understood that there was always a third interested party in housing court cases, and that's the municipalities who have an interest in housing stock, who want and need safe and habitable housing in their communities and neighborhoods. David Kerman worked to create a court where all of these issues should be brought forward and resolved with respect and integrity. He was a blessing to the people he served. And I hope that his portrait unveiled today will be a tribute to his work and a call to all of us to continue his dream for justice.
Thank you, Judge Dalton. I'd now ask the judge's wife, Judith, please come forward.
David was a bit of a Civil War scholar. So I would like to paraphrase Frederick Douglass and say that thank yous like mine are generally considered flat and unmeaning. But I trust, however, that mine will not be considered so. It's truly wonderful to see so many of David's judicial colleagues here today. He loved the law. He was passionate about the law. And the judiciary was his heart's desire. He loved being a trial judge and cherished his interactions with his judicial colleagues. This ceremony would never have happened without the full support of the trial court. And pardon me for repeating some things already said, but I want to begin with thanking Chief Justice Locke of the Massachusetts Trial Court. And then in the housing court, thanking Chief Justice Timothy Sullivan, present Chief Justice Diana Horan, First Justice Gustavo Del Puerto, and Judge Fairley Dalton. I am grateful to Housing Court Clerk Magistrates Tom Trilla and Allison Cole, to Paul Murphy from Security, and Kenny Davis, who was David's first court officer, as well as Marianela Almeida of the Facilities Department, for all of their work behind the scenes. I want you to notice the boat model behind me. David made that ages and ages ago. And when it was time for him to retire, he gave that model to the personnel in the Salem Housing Court. He loved sailing. He grew up in Florida sailing from the time that he was just a little kid. My sincerest thanks go to the members of the hitherto mysterious DDK Portrait Committee, who labored for almost an entire year to honor him. Attorneys Donna Ashton, Mary John Boylan, Lori Fluke, John Ford, Carl Goodman, wherever, oh, there you are, and Richard Vitale. You may think that hanging a portrait is pretty straightforward, but as we all know, the devil is in the details. So many, many thanks to the many, many people who generously donated the funds and who worked with the committee to have his portrait hang in this courtroom that he loved so much. And it will hang right there. My role on the DDK Portrait Committee was to find a portrait artist for the task. I was delighted to find David Wells Roth, sitting right here, who has completed 39 state and federal judicial portraits. He worked from a photograph taken shortly after David was sworn in, and he skillfully captured what one of my aunts called David's bedroom eyes. the cloth covering the portrait is an ancient weave from Turkey on loan from our good friends BJ and Bülent Sert. The 2 years that David spent in a remote village in eastern Turkey as a Peace Corps volunteer left a lasting impression that he took with him into the legal profession. He knew what it meant to live in stark poverty. He knew what it meant to barely make ends meet. As a result, he could relate to both the landlord and the tenant. He'd been there, he'd seen it firsthand. My sincerest thanks to our longtime ballroom dancing friends, Ellen and Mike Garvey, who are doing their techie magic here today. And they are joined by Dan Farron, who will be taking photographs of the ceremony and of you all, hopefully. My heartfelt thanks to my family that is present here, my niece Caroline Stromitis and my nephew David Stromitis, and also to my extended family on the West Coast, in Middle America, and on the East Coast, and to David's brothers Jeffrey and Michael and their families, all scattered to the four corners of this beautiful country and unable to be here today. I'm hoping that those of you who are watching on Zoom and are not able to be here, that you will come and you will see the portrait in person someday. Last but truly not least, I thank each and every one of you for coming, for paying in person this tribute to this really extraordinary man. It seems fitting that I not end my talk with my own words, but with the words that he spoke almost 33 years ago at his swearing in, and they're also in your program. I think they're really incredible words. And I quote David here, "I would like to see this court become an institution that we can all be proud of. An institution that is as open as possible within the bounds of propriety, and a place that welcomes all who seek its help. It will be for all of us to establish an institution where the search for compromise is as important as the search for compatibility, and where courtesy and civility mark the resolution of disputes." And to this end, he dedicated his life. Thank you.
Thank you, Yuda. Next speaker is a member of our committee. Every committee needs somebody who will do whatever has to be done without any consideration for the time or effort. It is a pleasure to introduce Donna Ashton.
Thank you for joining us. So instead of saying a remark, I took a little time and I wrote a little poem that I thought encapsulated some of the things that I knew about Judge Kerman. Friends, family, and colleagues have a common refrain. His love of the law ran deep through his veins. You could see it on the bench, trials, arguments, men motions. Dedication to his craft was a sacred devotion. Giving parties their fair hearings, there were no magic words. Pro se or lawyer, you were able to be heard. But be there at 9, because court started on time. Teaching for NIDA, both local and far, a yearly trek to Hofstra to help elevate the bar. Exchanges with Polish judges to educate and learn. Retirement, Not so much. Recall was what he yearned. Working with mock trial students, he touched their lives forever, sharing his love of trials and the law, one of his lasting endeavors. But maybe his greatest achievement was at times when no one was around, toiling over novel issues and opinions, the perfect analysis to be found. The Flaschner's edits and model instructions on which we all rely adds to his legacy, which no one can deny. We honor and thank him for his work and dedication. May his portrait remind us all of his service to our Commonwealth and the nation.
Thank you, Donna. Now I call upon Mary Joan Boylan, please. Attorney Boylan.
About 30 years ago, I accepted a position with DHCD, and my plan was that I would stay just a few years until my children were in school. I had not had never handled so much as one housing case, and I was feeling a little bit dodgy about being in the Northeast Housing Court, about which I knew nothing. Up until then, I had appeared before I don't know how many judges, and I was accepting a job for where there was, for all intents and purposes, one judge. In those days, the Lawrence session was on Amesbury Street, and it was a pretty raucous situation. Mediation was conducted in the hallways, to give you some idea. It was challenging, and it was very, very loud. On top of that, I didn't know what to make of the judge. My first impression was that it wasn't going to be any bed of roses appearing in front of Judge Kerman 3 days a week, although I immediately appreciated being able to set my watch by his entry into the courtroom. Weeks and months passed, and as the cases grew from dozens to hundreds, I grew no better at predicting outcomes, only that the judge was extraordinarily patient with tenants. But actually, I was wrong there, too. He was simply patient with people. Judge Kerman excelled at listening. He saw people with all kinds of challenges, and he could see past fear or bravado or anger and sense the complicated lives behind the stories. Sending a case back for mediation after the 12th consecutive motion for execution, and yes, that happened, he was telling me, us, you have to try again. Make this work. Try again. I remember once giving him an exasperated look like, and he fired a look right back, yes. In every case, there were unique situations that were potentially salvageable, and all the many tenancies that ultimately crashed and burned for tragic and predictable reasons, like addiction or gambling or mental illness, could never convince him otherwise. In my earlier days, I'd seen quite a few judges get irritated, inattentive, even belligerent. But day after day, year after year, Judge Kerman was focused and respectful to everyone who appeared in front of him. My plan to stay with BHCD only a few years eventually fell by the wayside. The job had plenty of frustrations and limitations, but it was a true privilege to practice in a court with an exceptional jurist, a well-run and efficient clerk's office, and skilled mediators. Over 30 years at the Northeast Housing Court, I never witnessed or even heard of anyone being treated dismissively or unfairly by anyone affiliated with the court. All of this is a testament to Judge Kerman's philosophy and an extension of his commitment to justice. In one of my cases in the Lynn session years ago, the defendant chose the unusual strategy of telling Judge Kerman that she was the resurrected goddess of the island of Samoa. All right. He listened very solemnly to her tirade, which included actually some nasty attacks directed at him personally, right up to the point when she told him that, like her, John Wilkes Booth was the victim of a conspiracy and that Abraham Lincoln had been killed by a United States Marine, yelled, Semper Fi, Mac, as he raced out of Ford's Theater. Well, evidently being delusional in court was acceptable, but not being inaccurate. almost as if he was in a history class, Judge Kerman calmly replied, actually, it was Booth, and what he said was, sic semper tyrannis. Where we were going with all of this wasn't clear, but the judge was as courteous with this clearly confused woman as he was to everybody. I admired that, as I admired his willingness to try unconventional avenues to help people. Another word for that, I suppose, is kindness. More than a few times, I wished I could have known Judge Kerman outside the courtroom, as he so clearly had a wonderful sense of humor and an interesting worldview. I always enjoyed it when he elevated the courtroom dialogue with the occasional obscure literary or cultural references, and I felt a sense of triumph when I went his way and he caught it. Sometimes I'd get the raised eyebrow, but if it was one he particularly appreciated, I might have even gotten a laugh out of him. Well, not a laugh exactly, but close. We can do with taking a page from Judge Kerman's playbook, giving fresh energy and best efforts to the law and the people we interact with. And, by the way, being on time, Judge Kerman's court was one of respect, integrity, inclusiveness, and no small things, hope and endless optimism in searching for justice. We honor his legacy by keeping it that way.
Thank you, Mary John. Now call on John Ford. Please come forward.
David and I first met in December of 1971, when we were candidates for the same staff attorney position at Neighborhood Legal Services. And although there was only one position, Joe Roman, who was the director then, was able to parlay getting both of us by hiring David and transferring my Reginald Heber Smith Fellowship from Vermont to here. So he started at Neighborhood in January of 72, and I started in March. So I had the opportunity to observe him as a colleague for some 18 or 19 years, and as a judge since that time, since 1991. His many talents and contributions have been discussed today. And based on our years as colleagues of Neighborhood Legal Services and as many years appearing before him in the housing court, I would like to reflect on his outlook on life and his sense of humor. His outlook is evident from his quotes in today's program. He believed in service to his fellow humans and practiced that with devotion, not only to individuals, but to impact the system as it relates to a basic human need, housing. As a judge, he successfully transformed from advocate to arbiter and never stopped being a teacher and, to use a modern phrase, a life coach. And he approached everything with a sense of humor that was gentle, kind, and unfathomable. I will tell you his favorite joke, and I suspect several here today may have heard him tell the joke. It seems there was a little village somewhere where there was a man whose job was in the belfry of the church. His job was to ring the bell by running face first into the bell on every hour. Plus, presumably the daylight hours. If we can accept the premise of a duck walking into a bar and talking, we can accept this premise. Every day on the hour, he would run face first into the bell to ring it, and presumably there was enough floor space for him to do that. On one day, he ran toward the bell and missed it, flying out the window opening and plummeting to his death on the ground below. A small crowd gathered around the body, and someone said, "Does anybody know this guy?" Another said, "I don't know him, but his face rings a bell." another man said, I don't know his name either, but he's a dead ringer for the guy who works at the church. Two punchlines. On one occasion in a summary process eviction case, I was representing an elderly woman who was a smoker. It is difficult representing a tenant who was afflicted with this addiction. In subsidized housing, a smoker is a pariah. We had an agreement that she would not smoke in the apartment. So one day she left carrots on the stove and they were burnt, setting off the smoke detector, the fire department, and the whole 9 yards. As a result, we were back in court with the landlord's attendant demanding that execution issue so they could dispossess her for infraction. At the conclusion of the argument, David said, motion denied. Carrots are not cigarettes. So as scholarly as he was and as effective as he was as a lawyer, a judge, and a court administrator, he was a good and decent man, a man for all seasons. That is not just a cliche or a movie title, but the description of a man who is true to himself and a good friend to others. I refer you to his quotes in the program today. The memory of David, whether as a colleague, a jurist, a teacher, or a friend, will always be a blessing for me, and I suspect for many here today. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Judge Kerman accomplished so much in this court that it could be easy to think of him as just a judge, but he lived life fully. He and Yuta shared their lives together, and they shared the love of tango. So sit back and enjoy for a few minutes as we watch a presentation of the Tangueros of Swampscott. Thank you. I now call on Yuta, Susan Brand, and Yvonne Abraham to unveil the portrait of the Honorable David D. Kerman. Thank you all, and especially to our speakers. Thank you to those in attendance and to those watching on Zoom. And now we invite you to join us in the corridor outside the courtroom for refreshments. Thank you all. Good afternoon.
Court, all rise.
Oh, I wonder where we were. Sorry. Maybe, right?